Second Sunday after Pentecost, the epistle is taken from the letter, from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, do not be surprised if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. In this we have come to know his love, that he laid down his life for us, and we likewise ought to lay down our life for the brethren. He who has the goods of this world and sees his brother in need and closes his heart to him, how does the love of God abide in him? My dear children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and in truth. Please stand for the gospel. At that time, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees this parable. A certain man gave a great supper, and he invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to tell those invited to come, for everything is now ready. And they all, with one accord, began to excuse themselves. The first said to him, I have bought a farm, and I must go out and see it. I pray thee, hold me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them. I pray thee, hold me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. And the servant returned and reported these things to his master, and the master of the house was angry and said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, thy order has been carried out, and there is still room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and make them come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you that none of those who were invited shall taste of my supper. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, at the 9 a.m. Mass, we celebrated the external solemnity of Corpus Christi, which the feast was on Thursday. Our Lord miraculously appeared in the Middle Ages and asked for a feast specifically, this specific feast of Corpus Christi, in which we honor and celebrate his body, the body of Christ. He comes into this world, body, blood, soul, and divinity. What was bread and what continues to appear to be bread is now completely changed substance into his body. And he comes, why? For you. When we love someone, we want to be with them. We want to spend time with them. Our friends, our family, husband and wife, well, boy and girl, they love each other and they want to get married and spend their life together. We want to spend time with the one we love. Christ tells us through the apostles that he will not leave us orphans. He will remain with us. He comes here so that we can receive him in the Blessed Sacrament, of course in communion, but he also awaits in the tabernacle for you to spend time with him in prayer. Now, when we pray, we often get distracted. It is almost inevitable. And there was a Catholic author, T.S. Eliot. He didn't live a good life, but he said, we are distracted from our distraction by distraction. It's as though we go from one distraction and then we're distracted from that one to another one and to another one. We go from, you know, the thinking about our vacation in Tahiti to what we're going to have for supper to the fact that we need to feed the cat. We go from one to another, all while we're praying or trying to pray. I think everybody has experienced this. We start to say the rosary, and before we know it, we are on the last Hail Mary, and it just seems like, what happened? So, the rule is this. As long as our intention was there to pray and to honor Our Lady and God, God looks at that and honors our intention. If we go to kneel down to pray and we have no intention of praying, and we go in intending to be distracted, And that's a sin. If we intend specifically, and I don't mean, well, you know, I'm afraid, Father, I'm gonna get distracted. No, it's like, I don't care about the rosary. I'm just going to sit here and think about what I'm going to do for dinner. That is being a Pharisee, and that is a sin. But normally, we kneel down, and we may know that we might fall into distraction. We kneel down, we get distracted. God still respects our intentions, which is why it's important to do the morning intention for our day, and we do an intention before we do the rosary. Hopefully you all have an intention here for Mass. God will respect that. But it would be better if we weren't distracted. Why? Because, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, when we are not distracted, then we get the spiritual rest. Our souls rest. And we get that spiritual refreshment when we are able to pray without distraction. And that is the great benefit. And that is why we should strive to pray without distraction. And of course, our prayers are a little more efficacious, but primarily, we get that spiritual rest. Now, oftentimes, like I said, we begin to pray and we're distracted and we're like, Father, what can I do? It just seems like distractions are always coming. Our distractions are oftentimes our memories and our imagination. And they work together. Our imagination can take our memories and twist them around and make kind of new things from them. And that's up here in the gray matter. These are for the most of your memories up here. There's some memories in the soul. But most of them are in our body. And we can control them. We can control them. St. Teresa of Avila in The Way of Perfection says this explicitly. Every person can control your imagination and these type of distractions. Every one of us. So we need to strive to do this. Our Lord, speaking to a mystic in the last century, told her that your imagination is like a dog. You let it wander through your house at will. It is the king of your house. How true that is oftentimes. The dog belongs outside in the kennel. And yet he wanders around, lays on the bed, goes and gets a drink, wandering around, giving his hair everywhere. This is an outdoor dog. He has his place. It's in the kennel. So, like a dog, we oftentimes have to take it by the collar. And he resists because he likes the bed. He likes the house. And you have to tug him, but eventually he'll obey. Go out to the kennel where he belongs. And he stays there until we decide to let him out. And then when we're done, we bring him back and put him back in the kennel. And our imagination, and really our memories, are the same way. We can control them. And we say, you know, this old dog, you can teach a new trick. Your imagination, you can teach to do that. In the beginning, if you've let your imagination have reign of your house, it might be a little difficult, but like a dog, eventually, he gets the idea. You don't even have to tug on his collar after a while. You just point. And he goes. He gets trained. The imagination is no different. But we have to do exercises. Just like we have to make the effort to train the dog, we have to train our imagination. Teresa of Avila and St. Ignatius of Loyola, both saints. St. Teresa of Avila is a doctor of the church on the mystical prayer and the mystical life. What should we do? St. Teresa talks about different types of prayer. She says, first of all, there is vocal prayer. Vocal prayer is any prayer written out. So it could be the rosary. And you don't have to actually say the prayer. You can just do it in your mind. If it's words, it's vocal prayer. And she says, even if you're distracted, of course, it's beneficial. And this also means, even if you're doing a vocal prayer in a different language and you don't fully understand it, you still get benefits from it. So that's like reading the Missal. You might not understand the Latin. We still benefit from it. We think about it with like little children. We teach children prayers. They don't really understand them oftentimes. They still benefit from them. And hopefully eventually they'll understand them. That's vocal prayer. And then she says, meditation. What is meditation? She says, meditation is nothing more than when we focus our mind on our prayer. And if it's vocal prayer, we focus our mind on what we're saying. That's all meditation is. So meditation can be reading the scriptures. This is called the Lectio Divina. You read the scriptures and you focus on it. Saying the Hail Mary, you focus on it. And you can do this, try to imagine an image. You can, like Our Lady there holding the baby Jesus while you say the Hail Mary. Or you can focus on the meaning of every word. St. Ignatius of Loyola talks about this. He says, do the Hail Mary saying one word with every breath. Hail Mary, full of grace. Do the whole Hail Mary that way. You'll be surprised. You'll get lost, first of all. You think you know the Hail Mary. You won't remember where you're at, or the Our Father that way. You slow it down. You focus on the Word. And here's the key. The imagination and memory are trying to rise up and distract you. But since you're focusing on the Word, and it's slower, you then can suppress those. And this is how you learn to suppress your memory and imagination. By doing this slowly. 10 minutes, 15 minutes to a Hail Mary and an Our Father. St. Teresa of Avila in The Way of Perfection, she talks about spending an hour doing a single Our Father. Now she's a contemplative nun spending time in the chapel for many hours. But that book, The Way of Perfection, she is teaching. It's a book about, she's teaching her nuns specifically how to pray. It is her most accessible work, and I would recommend it to anyone who wants to deepen their prayer life. Do this. Practice this. Every day. Come to the chapel. Now remember, you have to close out your distractions. To have a period of silence. That's why it's good to come to a church, adoration chapel. Put yourself in the presence of God. If you're at home, go before a crucifix or an image of our Lord. But of course, if you're here, Christ is in the church waiting for you. Put yourself in the presence of God and practice this. Everyone can do this. Everyone, St. Teresa of Avila says. We can train ourselves to suppress our distractions. And then when we do other prayers, like the rosary in general, I think it would take I don't know how long it would take to do the rosary with one breath per word, but when you do the rosary in general, then you have control of your imagination. It starts coming up, and you can put it down. It's like pointing the dog to the door, and he knows it's time to go out. This is how we're able to eliminate distractions. Through meditation. Now, some spiritual authors will define meditation different ways. This is what St. Teresa of Avila says. But then there's a deeper type of prayer, according to St. Teresa. So we have our imagination and memory in our gray matter here. But then every one of us, while we're awake, we have this ongoing conversation in our head, basically. We have this stream of consciousness where we're having a discussion in our head. The deeper form of prayer is to then suppress that. And this is also a type of meditation, but it is not vocal prayer now, because we're eliminating words. And we come before the Blessed Sacrament, put ourselves in the presence of our Lord. Now our memory and our imagination, we suppress those, and then we focus on Him, and we eliminate that conversation. We don't talk to Him, we don't ask Him, I need a new job, I need a new car. You eliminate all that. Love, when two people love each other, they just want to spend time with each other. We don't want to, you know, sometimes asking for something is can strain the relationship a little bit. Just spend a little time. Think of like a little child in the arms of its mother. A little child even before it can talk. It doesn't have a stream of words in its head, but it just wants to be there with its mother. And its mother, there are times when it's beautiful with just love, just lovingly gazes and doesn't maybe reflect on words. That's what we do with our Lord. The curé of Ars, St. John Vianney, had a parishioner who used to come to the church and he would look at the crucifix. And St. John Vianney asked him once, "What are you doing? What are you praying? What are you saying?" And he said, "Nothing. I just look at him and he just looks at me." That is this type of prayer. And St. Teresa of Avila says, everyone can do this also. This does not require an extraordinary grace of the Holy Spirit. This is us controlling our own faculties. Now, we can suppress that conversation. It's difficult. There might be a little bit there, but just that peace and that focus on our Lord. And this is prayer without distraction, in which we can get that rest of soul. Remember, if we pray with distraction, we don't get that spiritual rest. How often is our lives just seeking recreation, rest? We go to a movie. I'm tired, a long day. I just want to relax and sit in a chair and have a beer, or you know, let's go to this movie or something. Much of our recreation, we are just seeking rest. We're going everywhere looking for it, and it's here. Spend time. That spiritual rest is open to everyone, but we have to make the effort. Now, once we reach that point of being able to do this, and it's hard, you still get distractions. You have to put it down. You might only be able to do it for about 5 or 10 minutes, but you get that rest. You get the connection with God, with Christ. He's here for you. Now, on top of that, then, St. Teresa of Avila will say, then God can infuse a contemplation. That's where the Holy Spirit then works. And you get what's called, and now this isn't open to everyone. It's controversial. She doesn't seem to think it's open to everyone. Where God may then give what's called the prayer of quiet, in which He then gives a grace that makes it much easier for that stream of consciousness to be suppressed and your faculties to be suppressed and just focus on our Lord. But we can approach that without an extraordinary grace. Every one of us. So, our Lord comes here in the tabernacle for each one of us. He waits day and night for us. And He's here to give us rest and refreshment. He loves us and He comes from heaven for us. And He waits for our response. So, make an effort to truly, truly practice meditative prayer. To focus on what we're saying. To strive to just do that loving gaze upon our Lord. He's here for you to do that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.